Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome aboard to the gathering of the saints. So we've been in this series with a really light topic, something about the purpose for our life, right? Small topic. But as we continue this series, today we have an opportunity to revisit one of the primary themes of Jesus' life. This theme not only defined his life as he walked through those dry, dusty lands of Israel, this theme also describes who he was and who he still is today. And since, as I always like to remind myself, that we as Christians say things like, well, I follow Jesus, right? That's what it means. Someone asks us, well, what does it mean to be a Christian? I follow Jesus. Then this whole theme of who Jesus is and one of the primary themes of his life ought to be something that we can never explore too often, is how I think about it anyway, so I offer that to you. And this is the theme: Jesus was and is a servant. That's not a new idea, but it is very profound, and we can never explore it too often. During the 33 years on this planet, Jesus knew and perfectly lived out the purpose of glorifying his heavenly Father by serving others. Just let that sink in. In other words, Jesus came to donate his life to us. He did not enter this world to take from us. And of course, the sobering and humbling reality is that Jesus of all people, the one who created us, had every right to take rather than to donate, right? And now Jesus is asking us to continually find new ways for each of us in our spiritual growth to follow his example. That's what it means to be a Christian. So as a reminder of the past 5 weeks as we've been in this series, and to set the context for our scripture today, I'd like to offer just this reminder of four of the five ways that we glorify God as they're identified by Pastor Rick Warren in this book, The Purpose-Driven Life. The first we spent some time with was we bring glory to God by worshiping him, by taking pleasure in him. That honors him, right? And then it was we bring glory to God by loving other believers, formed for God's family, being involved as a fellowship. And then we bring glory to God by becoming like him. Right? What better way to honor him? And then today, it's this idea. We bring glory to God by serving others with our gifts. Serving others with our gifts. There are two passages from God's Word that I'd like for us to explore about this whole idea of being shaped for service. Shaped for service. And as we read these scriptures, want us to notice a couple of things, and we'll be, spending some more time with this. But notice this as I'll be reading for us, that first, that the Lord has uniquely created and designed and gifted each of us. Each of us. Also notice the purpose for our unique design and shape. And then finally, notice that in following the example of Jesus, we may need to stop what we're doing in order to be available for others. And I think you'll see all of that in these two passages. So in honor of God's word, as always, I'm going to ask us to stand as I read these two passages from God's word. The first comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. And this is what the apostle Peter writes. He says, "Most important of all, you must sincerely love each other, because love wipes away many sins. Welcome people into your home and don't grumble about it. Each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So use your gift well. If you have the gift of speaking, preach God's message. If you have the gift of helping others, do it with the strength that God supplies. Everything should be done in a way that will bring honor to God because of Jesus Christ, who is glorious and powerful forever. And then he concludes this passage with amen. And now let's take a look at the second passage, which is going to be in Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 32. Which says this: Jesus was followed by a large crowd as he and his disciples were leaving Jericho. Two blind men were sitting beside the road, and when they heard that Jesus was coming their way, they shouted, "Lord, and Son of David, have pity on us." The crowd told them to be quiet, but they shouted even louder, "Lord, and Son of David, have pity on us." And then he says, when Jesus heard them, he stopped and asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" They answered, "Lord, we want to see." And Jesus felt sorry for them and touched their eyes. And right away they could see and they became his followers. May those who have ears to hear the word of the Lord this morning. Amen. You may be seated. I don't think it's possible to overemphasize the importance of knowing the purpose for our life and how that purpose is expressed through donating our life and gifts to others. I don't think we can overemphasize the implications of that. Many of us here today have, I would suggest, might have a pretty deep understanding of this. This is not new information or not something that we're not aware of. But maybe our familiarity leads us to, in some ways, minimize or to sort of take it for granted. And so can I remind us that honoring God through serving others with our gifts really does have life and death implications. I don't think I'm overemphasizing that. Just one example, I could give many examples. This, you may or may not relate to this, but it is an example. And it can be seen in the life and death of Elvis Presley. Most of us know Elvis Presley. His ongoing popularity may be unparalleled in entertainment industry. Some people, of course, still firmly believe that he's alive today, right? And in spite of his enormous success, as we kind of know his story, Elvis Presley was, according to his friends and family, an unfulfilled and unhappy man, right? He died of obesity and drug dependency at the very young age of 42. That's not a unique story, right? I mean, there's many examples of this. But I bring this out because there was an interview with his wife a number of years ago, his wife Priscilla, and she said this about her husband, and I'll put this up on the screen for you here. She said this in reflecting on his life. She said, "Elvis never came to terms with who he was meant to be or what his purpose in life was." He thought he was here for a reason. Maybe to preach, maybe to serve, maybe to save, maybe to care for people. And then she says, that agonizing desire was always with him. And he knew he wasn't fulfilling it. And so what did he do? He'd go on stage so he wouldn't have to think about it. Elvis never came to terms with who he was meant to be or what his purpose in life was. There was this nagging thing inside of him. He knew he needed to figure it out, right? He thought he was here for a reason, maybe to preach, maybe to serve, maybe to save. That agonizing desire was always with him, and yet he knew he wasn't fulfilling it. He was unsure of his purpose and what he should be doing. Now think about this. How would his life been different if he first knew that the purpose for his life, as we know, up here at least, that his purpose for his life was to glorify and to honor God? That's why he was created. What if he really knew that? Think about it. And what if he had known that one of those ways that we glorify God is by serving others with the gifts God has given us? That truth may very well have set him free and possibly saved his life. It's not over-exaggeration. This is serious stuff. And that is why, unlike Elvis, we do need to think about this. We need to be reminded of it. Even to whatever degree we already understand it, it has huge implications for our life. Rick Warren offers this summary of this whole idea. He says, what matters is not the duration of your life, how long it lasts, but the donation of your life. And so the big idea today that I'd like to offer us is this. We are uniquely designed to donate our life to others. I want to write that down. That's what the whole point of the message is right there. And it's life-changing. And many of us know that it's life-changing. But many of us can also forget the true implications of that and really keeping that in front of ourselves. In other words, we were put on earth to make a contribution. We weren't created just to consume resources, to eat, to breathe, to take up space. God designed us to make a difference with our life. We were created to add life to this earth, not just to take from it. And the Lord is asking us to give something back, to donate our life to other people as a way of honoring him in the way that Jesus lived. And can I add, to donate our time, gifts, and talents. Some of you might want to close your ears on this. To donate our time, gifts, and talents, even to some people we don't like. Did I actually say that? I don't even want to hear it myself. To people that may not like us. You might want to just leave now. But that's what Jesus did, of course. Right? And so, of course, what better way to honor him and his life and his death than to donate our life even when it's uncomfortable or painful? So let's go back and take a look at this first passage here in 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 10, where Peter says, each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So use your gift well. If you have the gift of speaking, preach God's message. If you have the gift of helping others, do it with the strength that God supplies. Everything should be done in a way that will bring honor to God because of Jesus Christ, who is glorious and powerful ever. Amen. Notice, of course, Peter says, each of you. In other words, I don't see any exceptions out here unless it got, you know, as people like to say, well, you know, things get lost in translation over time, and so maybe people took that out. Like there's exceptions here because I don't want to be included in this. Every child of God has been designed and blessed with gifts. We like that part. But how are those gifts to be used? Peter makes it very clear here. We cannot just sit on our gifts. They are to be mobilized to serve and to meet the needs of others. Our gifts and talents were not given for us to only consume for ourselves. They were given to contribute to others. And what we see is that we each are to actively discover and to identify how God is uniquely designed and gifted us. I don't know about you, but I didn't come with this fully laid out, you know, detail of all of my gifts and talents written out on a piece of paper, right? I mean, I came with an owner's manual in terms of the scriptures, but the scriptures don't say, well, Dennis is, you know, he's got this personality and these talents and this gifts, these gifts, or this is what's going to develop in his life. So we need to discover that. For example, if we discover that we have the gift of speaking, use that gift to share with others about the truth of God's grace, the good news, right? Use that gift to bless others. Each of us is made to make a unique contribution to this world. Think about it. Pastor Rick has developed, for those of you that have been going through his book, has developed an acronym called SHAPE, S-H-A-P-E, to help us identify the unique design that each of us is blessed with. And I'm going to just give a very quick overview of this. There's lots of materials, not only in his book, but even on the internet and the website. You can get a lot more information about each of these details. But basically what this stands for is, S stands for spiritual gifts. Scriptures talk a lot about that, about the Holy Spirit gifting us. The H stands for heart. That sort of refers to the whole idea of passion. What is it that really motivates us in life? And that can sort of change over time, right? So at any given time, where is sort of my heart and my passion? These are things that make up who we are and our unique contribution to the world. And then A stands for abilities, right? We all have different abilities, and it changes over time as we develop those abilities. And then P stands for personality. Some of us say, well, I don't have a personality. Yeah, we do. Just take the idea of introvert and extrovert. Remember when I separated us in the different ways that were different? I could just take introvert and extrovert, and we'd already split the room up. Some of us are introverts, some of us are extroverts. And then experience. I mean, this is a huge, broad category. Anything from family experiences. We all have different family experiences, educational experiences, our job or vocational experiences. And then how about all the experiences, different kinds of experiences we've had with just pain? And all of that allows us to make a very unique contribution to the body of Christ and to other people and to serve and to make a contribution to this world. Now, I'll just make this point. There are a lot of really helpful tools and assessments, spiritual gift tests, and ways you can discover more about your abilities and your personality type and all that. There's a lot of great resources out there about discovering our shape. But as Rick Warren points out, and I do believe this, probably the best way to discover where we can make the greatest contribution is to maybe start with those assessments, but it's then going to all be about experimentation, discovery, experimenting, trying new things. It means saying, well, I've never thought about serving in that way, but maybe I should try that and experiment and see how God uses me, right? Through experimentation, we may end up blessing others and being blessed in some really surprising new ways, okay? So let's keep that in the back of our mind. And so back into our passage here in 1 Peter, verse 11 up here, we're reminded about the purpose for the Lord uniquely creating us, right? Our gifts are to be donated and shared in a way that honor God. In other words, we honor God by serving others, but we all have an obvious challenge to this. There are many, but there's one that's really obvious. Serving others is the opposite of our natural inclination that we all enter into this world with, right? This is a challenge. Most of the time, we're more interested in serve us rather than service, right? We say, I'm looking for a church that meets my needs and blesses me, not, oh, I'm looking for a place to serve and to be a blessing. I mean, where do we start? Where's our starting point, right? We expect others, even though we know this, I mean, most of us learned either through parents or life experience that, you know, we're not supposed to be centered on ourselves, right? But there's this tendency where we expect others to serve us, not vice versa. But as we mature in Christ, the focus of our lives will increasingly shift to living a life of service and donation. So the mature follower of Jesus stops asking, who's going to meet my needs, right? and starts asking, whose needs can I meet with the gifts that I have been given? Right? That's the starting place. Now, I think we all understand this concept. We may have all been already convicted and we could leave now, but, you know, I've got more time, and so I want to make sure we're all fully convicted with this, and so I have a short video that I'd like to share that illustrates this truth with great clarity. I don't think there'll be any lack of clarity with this. Some of us may have seen this video before. I almost recommend a sort of an annual watching and review of this very short video as a way to continually help to identify and to confront this enemy within that we all face. So let's take a look.
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guy. Right?
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
Yeah, where it's all about you. There is part of us, we laugh, because that's the church we want to go to. But then there's this conviction thing, and it's like, no, but I know that's not the way it's supposed to be, but where it's all about you, right? We're born with that desire to be part of that church. And that's the very lie, of course, that we've been confronting for the past few weeks. It's not about us. A man approached a pastor and told him he wanted to join the church, but he didn't think he had a lot of time to devote to serving. He said to the pastor, I have a very busy schedule and I can't be called upon to do any cleaning or teaching or serving in any way. I can't help with special projects or with the students, as all my evenings they're just all tied up. The pastor thought for a moment and then said, you know, I think you may be at the wrong church. Maybe at the wrong church. The church I think you're looking for is about 3 blocks down the street on the right. And the man was really impressed that the pastor would really be, you know, open to directing him to another church and considering, you know, what might better meet his needs. And so he left kind of confidently, and he arrives at the destination of the directions that he had received, and he was startled and convicted by what he saw. What he was staring at was an abandoned, boarded-up church building. At that moment, the man was confronted by and reminded of the life-giving truth that we are uniquely designed to donate our lives to others. The emptiness of that boarded-up church building is the same kind of emptiness that creeps into our life the more we demand others to donate their life to us. And Matthew continues this theme in chapter 20, verses 29 through 32. Jesus was followed by a large crowd as he and his disciples were leaving Jericho. Two blind men were sitting beside the road, and when they heard that Jesus was coming their way, they shouted, Lord and Son of David, have pity on us. And the crowd told them to be quiet. But they shouted even louder, Lord and Son of David, have pity on us. When Jesus heard them, he stopped and asked, what do you want me to do for you? So we have this picture. Just one day, Jesus was walking. He He's leaving the city of Jericho. Clearly he had plans to go somewhere, right? And where he was heading. And in the midst of those, he's God, pretty important plans, two blind men start yelling at him. And they shouted, "Lord, have mercy on us." And Jesus stopped and asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" Notice the word stopped. Jesus stopped. If we want to be used by God, if we want to serve God, we must be willing to be interrupted. In other words, to follow Jesus implies that we're willing to allow our agenda and our plans to be interrupted. Think of it. Most of Jesus' ministry and most of Jesus' miracles were interruptions. That's how he lived his life. His first miracle, Jesus was interrupted at a wedding, turning water into wine, right? After that first interruption, all the people he healed, the blind man, the lame man, the woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, the dead child, all of them were interruptions. We're reminded today, Jesus stopped. It has been observed that a lot of people, rightfully, like to follow the steps of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. I want to follow in the steps of Jesus. But let's consider, maybe we should also study and think about the stops of Jesus. Because almost every miracle Jesus did, he did because he allowed other people and their needs to interrupt what he was doing. And we can just quickly dismiss that and say, well, yeah, but that's what he was here for. But let's not forget, what are we here for? Are we here just to consume and to be at the meat church where everybody is serving us? Or are we saying as Christians that we're going to follow in his example, his way, right? The more we're fulfilling the purpose for our life, the more our life will be filled with interruptions from other people. Think about it. If our plans are rarely interrupted to donate our gifts to others, we may not be fulfilling the very purpose for being alive, right? So let's identify probably the most common enemy to our availability. It's pretty obvious. It's called, especially in our Western culture, it's called busyness, right? We're all busy. We've got our phones and all that to tell us how busy we are. And as we allow our own plans and agenda to fill up our schedule, we can become very unavailable to serve others, to serve other needs. I've got my agenda, my plans, my dreams, my goals, my ambitions. In essence, what we're doing with that attitude, to get this picture, it's like hanging like a do not disturb sign over our heart. And this can become this pattern that can creep into our life in different ways. We say, don't disturb my heart. Don't disturb my schedule. I've got my own agenda. So don't disturb me with your need or the needs of other people. I think we can all identify with that challenge, right? Right? Now, I can imagine hearing many in the room with maybe a few objections, one in particular I can think of. And so I'll offer this one little qualifier to help you think this through and maybe overcome this objection. This truth, Jesus did not meet every need that was presented to him. Oh, thank you for that reminder. He didn't meet every need. I don't have to either. This is great news. And it is true. In following his example, we shouldn't meet every need that's presented to us either. Okay? That is true. But the key today and the message today is to begin to start with an attitude that says, Lord, I'm available. Show me what needs to serve. That must be our starting place. And as we start with an I'm available attitude, then Jesus will show us which needs he's asking us to pause our schedule and to stop for. But you see where we start from. And then we ask Jesus to show us. So this week, whenever we see a need right in front of us, we might consider this. God may be giving us the opportunity to practice serving in some new way, may not be even a new way, but to confront this enemy within us. So maybe as we begin each day, we consider asking and praying to God, God, my schedule is your schedule. If you have some divine appointment, if you want to bring someone into my life today, go ahead and bring them in. Show me how I can honor you by stopping to donate my life and my gifts to them. Because I need you to show me. Because you're not asking me to meet every need that's presented to me, but you're asking me to start with an attitude of, I'm available. So Lord, show me. My schedule is your schedule. And of course, as we pray that way each day, by faith, watch what happens. Opportunities will pop up out of nowhere, which is both good and bad. It's like now we're even more dependent upon God because it's like, okay, am I supposed to meet this need or that need? And then there's that, but what about you? What about you? Right? Constantly talking to us. Because the Lord is always looking for people who are willing to be his hands and his feet to meet the needs of others. And so again, the big idea today is this. We are uniquely designed to donate our life to others. I'd like to, just as another way to get at this whole idea, is to bring this truth to life by doing a brief interview with someone in our midst. And so I'm going to ask Jeremy if he would come on up, because I would like to ask him a few questions, have him share a few things that I think might be helpful for us in this regard. So for those of you who don't know, this is Jeremy. For those of you that kind of walk in and don't look in the back there, he's faithfully always in the back taking care of a variety of technical things with the sound and the video, which I know many of us are very, very thankful for. But the first question that we may not all know is I wanted to first ask you, Jeremy, before you came to Grace Covenant, what if any experience did you have with serving in the church in any capacity? What kind of experience did you have?
I started by ushering, by handing like the bag around the church, getting all the money. And for me, that was like, I was kind of like forced into it. I don't get me wrong, I like the service, but I don't think I can contribute as much as someone that can enjoy that. And for me, I've been always wanting to work at the back. I used to go to...
Well, let me ask you that before you get into that, because I don't want to just kind of lead people through this thought process. So let me ask you this. Before you came here and got involved back there, what experience did you have in this whole area of sound and, you know, running the video and all that sort of stuff? I mean, you must have had some experience before you did this, or did you? I mean, tell me about what kind of experience you had with any of that. We're putting someone with zero experience back in the hands of all this technology. What is going on? What kind of church is this? Are we crazy or what? Were we desperate? I don't think so. I think God had a real plan, which is why I have Jeremy up here to illustrate all of this. And so, Jeremy, you didn't have any experience. So you came in. Did you know, okay, you kind of looked back there and there's this need. Did you have this sense like, wow, I don't have any experience there, but I just know that if I get involved in that, this is going to be something I'm just going to love to do, and it's going to be something that, you know, I feel like I'm making a great contribution. Did you have that sense of just confidence, the first day you were here, thinking about getting involved in that? Or tell me what your thoughts were. What level of confidence did you have? Like, this is going to be my area.
When I saw Joseph back there, I just looked at him and thought, wow, he needed some help. So I got back there and introduced myself and say, wow, if he can do it, I can do it. So I just trusted in God, and it just led me to a place where I could just be with him for like maybe a month. And I just got like a month experience from him just watching what he does. believing what I can be capable of. So I thank God for that.
Amen. So in that process, what things have you learned? What things have you learned about serving God as you've sort of experienced sort of this new area of involvement? What kind of things have you learned, or what things have stood out for you in that experience?
I take a look at my talents and see what where I could fit, and just looking out to all the opportunities that God can give you. It's not where you could just be closed up. You have to be open to everything, and
So. People may not know, outside of church here and your involvement there with all that you've learned and all that you've got involved with. By the way, he's here every Sunday. So no, pressure on all of us, but, he may be one of the most, consistent people in the church here today, including myself, because he's here every Sunday, rain, shine, he never gets sick. I don't know, God has anointing, over him, but, so has there been any results of this experience here outside of the church?
I'm making lots of friends, and also my involvement in the college that I go to. I'm starting to have a real nice job there. I work as a media tech guy at the media services center there, so I really do think God is putting me into a position where I could say I could take this on.
So, which is pretty cool. I mean, it doesn't always work out that way, but, so just want you to see what happened here is he got involved in a new area. He didn't really know what all was, his experience was going to be, and then discovers, wow, not only do I really like this, but it's like God has gifted me, and it's like this is a spot where I can contribute to the church. And oh, by the way, now there's a whole new area where, whether he chooses to, this becomes your career or whatever. In fact, I haven't touched base with you lately. I mean, has this shifted how you might even think your whole long-term career might go? Or I don't know where you're at with that. Where are you at these days?
Oh yeah, definitely. I've been interested in music, first of all, and then into sound. It created more of like a maturing stage where I would have to say, okay, if I like music, where can I put this to, like, how could I make this into a career? And so, studying sound is like a new gateway for me to just explore. And that's where I want to go to, and that's why I want to major in broadcasting and electronic communications.
Well.
So,
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. I mean, you can see why I wanted you all to hear that. And it doesn't matter. You say, well, he's young, and so, yeah, that made sense for him to do that. It doesn't matter what age we're at. I mean, the Bible is filled with examples of people who've lived many years and went and experimented with something new and then found, it's like, wow, this is amazing how God wants me to use me in this area. And, I mean, so this is not only has he been blessing us with his involvement here, but this has also changed, the trajectory of where his even vocational career will go for some period of time. I mean, that's the cool thing. When we're doing what God is asking us at that point in time to do with our gifts and our talents, our passion, our personality, and all of that, all sorts of things start to open up. That's what we need to be constantly experimenting with and trying new things about. Anything else you'd like to share with anybody? I mean, you shared quite a bit, but...
Pastor Dennis, thank you for inviting me out here. And he's a really good teaching master.
Well, thank you. I wasn't fishing for that. Thanks, Jeremy. So again, we are uniquely designed to donate our lives to others. That's the message today. I'm going to ask Erwin if you come on up as I close this in a time of prayer, here reflecting on this whole truth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus who was willing to donate everything that he had for us, on the cross. He gave it all. He left nothing. He gave it all. And he understood and has given us a great example of what it means to live life to the full, which is not about living for ourselves, but you've designed and created us to begin from a place of how can we contribute to others? How can we donate what you have gifted and blessed us with to others? So I thank you today, Lord, for this reminder, for how Jesus in his life has set that example. And Lord, may each of us this week truly pray and seek you with our schedules, which can be so busy, that you would show us, Lord, as we give those schedules over to you, where those interruptions you want us to make, where we need to stop, where we need to stop and meet that need, even when if it's uncomfortable or painful. Lord, we need your help with that. We don't want to rest on our successes from the past where we've thought about others and we've given and we've donated. But Lord, what do you have for us today and this week? What new things might we experience as we start from that place of willingness to donate our lives, not to take from others? So Lord, we need your help with that. We look forward to the new experiences that we will have as we give ourselves over to you. And Lord, we thank you that in the midst of all of this, your grace is abundant. You love us. And that we rest in. And we praise you for. And we thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.